I just want you to know that I'm sorry.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome back for another episode of Unhinged Memoirs. Today we have a special episode for you.
Is this special?
It is special. You know why? We're going to be talking about what fucking triggers us, man.
Projections and triggers.
Yep. We're going to go into that. I'm Val.
Jess.
Liz.
Hi.
She's back.
She is back. How's hers feeling?
Alive, I guess.
Alive?
Yeah.
You know what I like? That's your best form.
Is it?
It is.
Like, I don't know. Halloween's right around the corner, so dead's kind of sounded nice.
Are we talking like you feel like alive, or do you just feel alive?
I just feel alive. Mm. We're not going to give that much into it.
Like, well, you know, you said alive, and I think of alive. Like, I think being like, yes, makes you feel so alive.
I mean, the steroids, they make you feel alive.
But. Well, I'd imagine. What's been going on?
I have the lungs of like a 90-year-old woman, and Florida hates me.
I know.
So...
I'm glad here to see you here. Seriously, I'm glad that you're feeling
if
a little
bit
better.
If you hear me wheezing, just, you know, it's
wheezy
just...
Wheezy baby.
Please say the baby.
I just call you Dastardly.
Wait, what?
You don't remember back, like, when we were kids, like, the cartoon in Dastardly? It was when he had, like, a hound dog or whatever, and he'd be like...
No, I don't think
when he would laugh.
I don't know him.
Well, I literally was just going to say, I was like, am I showing my age right now? And she's like, are we showing our age?
Yeah, no, we are. You are. You guys are.
Yeah,
but I'm the same age.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't watch TV. Mm. I wasn't cultured. I wasn't the cool kid.
You uncultured swine.
Yeah, no, you guys are much cooler than I am. You guys know a lot more. You know a lot more references than I do.
I think you were just more sheltered in certain areas.
Which is crazy. Because it's crazy.
I meant sheltered in the weird areas, like
I know
cartoons.
Yeah. What? Yeah, I don't know, man. What's everyone been up to?
Oh, nothing. I think I'm going through perimenopause. I think I'm in the beginning stages. So
tell us why.
This episode is going to be fun because I'm realizing all my triggers and my projections. And
we triggered each other right before this episode.
Oh, we sure did. I was like, I feel triggered. She's like, well, I felt triggered too.
Yep, sure did. Yep.
And then I am just sitting in the middle going,
She looking over here like her eyes are bulging out of her head like, oh shit, it's about to go down.
You know what's crazy? People don't know this, but every time when Jessica gets fiery, she's got a very Italian temper.
I do, unfortunately.
So when I said something, and I said it pretty bitchy, and she looks at me and she goes, I am on lack of sleep right now. And as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, just kidding.
I literally turned around and walked to the bathroom like, I need to take a moment.
Yeah.
I don't want to figure out my trigger.
Yeah.
Do some reset moves.
You did a great job because I thought I was going to get my ass beat. She's already beat my ass, but I'm just saying, like, I
wow.
just. No.
Jesus.
I'm scared. She got an Italian temper. But I mean,
I would like everybody
to
know
there.
That she's actually not a violent person.
No, she's not.
I'm the least violent person.
Yeah, she's not. She just hasn't. It's a thing.
Yeah.
But it takes you a while to get there. It's not like it happens all the time. It's not like you're fucking unhinged every day.
No.
But when you're tired, I'm scared.
You know what it is? I have a lack of patience for bullshit anymore.
I know. I'm sorry.
No. You're good. You're good. But
I'm joking. I just wanted to do that.
But no, for real. Like, I realized, like, you know what it is? Like, my mom used to always say this. Like, when she hit 40, she got the case of the fuck it. So yeah. I feel like as soon as I hit 30, I got the case of the fuck it.
Mm-hmm. You did.
And now that I hit 40, my fuck it is out of control. Like,
there is none.
And now I have not only the fuck it, but I also have, like, a lack of, like, patience for bullshit.
Yeah.
Is my problem.
You know what? And good for you.
Yeah.
Because that means that you're
just. New year, new me.
Not even fucking January 1st, bitch.
No, you know, no, like new year for like new year of my birth year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
New year, new me. Like new year of age. Yeah. That's where I was going with that. You know, I'm seeing them heard and validated.
You
I
are.
Get it.
She's like, yeah, I got it. Shut up.
She's like, no, I'm going to keep explaining this because you're not getting what I'm saying.
No, I get it.
I got it. I got it.
Yeah, I get it.
That's where the over explainer comes in me.
I know. Yeah, no, you're good. I get it. I'm just kidding.
What have you been up to?
Me?
Yeah.
Working. Oh, since our last episode, I have done my hair and makeup every day.
I'm proud of you.
We still need to go. We need to have a sunset with coffee.
Yes, we haven't done that yet, but the week's not over yet. We're only a couple of days into this. I have taken a shower.
Proud of you.
And done my hair and makeup every day.
I'm proud of you.
I say hair. I blew dry my hair this morning. So, I mean, that's good enough. But I did my makeup. Okay. At 5 o'clock this morning, I did my makeup.
And
I prepped my sourdough. It's in the microwave right now. It's getting yeasty.
You did?
I did. I've been feeding it daily.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
I got to do that on Friday.
I'm being consistent to what I said I was going to do.
So. Yes.
I'm glad.
I know.
I'm glad you guys are.
We told we'd hold ourselves accountable. Because on the last episode, we were what?
Nothing.
What was the face for?
You struggled a little bit with that, so.
We said what?
We hold ourselves accountable.
Yes, we hold. Whoa. We hold ourselves accountable.
Hello.
Yep, there it is.
Listen, ding, if this... Fries are done.
We're a little unhinged today. I apologize, yeesh. Guys.
It's fine. I was going to tell you something. I was going to say something to you.
I'm listening.
I fucking forgot.
Oh, ADHD is a motherfucker.
It's crazy. Let's say something. We're talking about accountable.
We're being more accountable for, like...
Yep.
Holding ourselves accountable.
Yep. Because we're going to be more accountable.
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 I really like your candlestick holder. That's really cute.
Okay, Miss ADHD. Yes, I have a new one, you know, because it's September now. And beginning of September, by August 30th, had all my fall decorations out because I'm a basic white bitch that can't wait for fall. And I got this at Goodwill and it was like $1.99. And it's literally like a like skull base and it's got like a hand that's a skull that's holding a candle. And it's super cute.
It is super cute.
But that's what she spotted.
You know, and I think there's nothing wrong with that because I think like fall for all of us just make us feel a little bit better because it's like cooler air. We open our windows.
I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah, no.
Not in Florida yet.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But by this weekend, they say it's going to be 69.
So I just checked the next app. 10 days. Thank you. I just checked the next 10 days and the lowest we get is a 73 for a low and an 84 of a high on the low.
I mean, that's pretty low for Florida.
I know, but it's not what I no, it's not what I wanted.
No. She said no.
Yeah, no, I need like 60s as my low 70s as my high so I can just crank this AC off and fucking open all my windows.
I know. It was so nice. You know what it made me think of last year when we had the couch in here, right? Mm-hmm. The big couch, and we had the windows open, like when we were talking about the podcast, because obviously we had to shut them when we recorded.
That shit sucked.
But just that feeling though of like all when that fresh air.
My favorite part was like when I was sleeping, and because the wind kicks over here.
Yeah,
and I don't know what it is, but you know how it is here. It's mm-hmm. It creates like this portal, mm-hmm. this air portal through the house.
I wonder it's because if you have all those feel, you have a lot more trees than the rest of the maybe. Town does.
I don't know, but it's super windy over here, especially once it starts getting a little cool and you open these windows, like to the point that like doors are slamming. I have mm-hmm. to like put the weights in front of the doors, and the wind just pushes through here. And it is
that room, God. Especially over there,
yeah,
really? Is like a wind tunnel.
Yeah, because it's right off the lake. Yeah.
Oh, that must feel so nice when you're sleeping.
It does. Except for I feel bad for Eric because it can be like when it was like in the 40s and he'd be like, can we just turn the heat on? Is he shaking? And I'm like, no, fuck that. Put another blanket on your room.
You can put more clothes on, sir.
You can't take it?
Yep. That's right. You going to take that dick. What the fuck is wrong with us?
Oh, Lord. If you haven't seen Wanderlust, you must.
That is definitely a good, great, fantastic, non-family-friendly movie.
It is. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies, actually. It is.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking funny.
Paul Rudd.
Daddy.
Would you bang him?
In a heartbeat.
No, he's not my type.
Me either.
It doesn't have to be. It's the personality for me.
It is.
He's got a good personality, but no, I'm good. Mm-mm. Not my type.
I was like, what are you pulling out of your magic box over there?
My magic boobs.
I've got the magic.
I had my driver's license in there because I dropped Ozzy off today to go get neutered. So.
Hims. I'm excited for him to be here after he gets his balls chopped off.
I hope he's still sweet.
Oh, he's going to. I think he'll be sweeter. Because normally it like lowers their testosterone.
Yeah.
So. That's true.
And he had some big bolas.
He did have some big bolas. And he was already like a lover boy. So.
He's so cute.
So toot. Okay. Right. Anywho. Let me pull out my notebook so we can start moving forward.
I love it.
All right. So let's do this. Why don't I pass it on to you, Valerie, my little medical jargon lady. Let's talk about some triggers.
Okay, so we're going to talk about what a trigger is. So a trigger is an external cue. So tone, delay in like a text message or someone saying something back to you. It's a misplan. It's loud noises, body language, anything that can trigger you, right? Mm-hmm. So it matches an internal memory network. So it's a state-dependent learning. So like whatever state you're in, like it's state-dependent learning.
Nothing. No, I love you. Go ahead.
It's too much. I know. So the autonomic nervous system, it fires the fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and flop, mm-hmm. right? So then you're...
Say that 10 times fast.
Fight, flight, freeze, fawn, flop. That's it. That's as far as I'm going. And then once aroused, perception narrows, your confirmation bias spikes, and brain chooses the old story over the present facts. So that's the medical version of what that is.
So in layman's terms, yep. basically a trigger is when present behavior of someone reminds you of your nervous system of old wounds.
Yep.
I gotcha.
That's it. That's literally it. So I know that triggers can be like, they can be a lot of things for a lot of people, and it can be small things that trigger people. It could be big things that trigger people. But it's recognizing that feeling that you're getting from that trigger to understand, okay, I'm triggered.
Right. And triggers do come from being unhealed from like childhood wounds and like past relationships.
Or like mine, like the Jeremy situation.
Right.
Like it could be like
a traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
So like in real life situations, it can look different for different people, but like you overreact to something small. You shut down or you withdraw completely from a conversation or from a group of people. You snap at someone even if they didn't mean any kind of harm. You feel anxious or you panic out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what the situation is or the scenario is or who you're surrounded by, your triggers, like, I don't think people realize they go off all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And some are minimal and you can overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
And then some are like, no, fuck this. I need to do this. I need to self-soothe or I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because this right here is not part of my healing process.
That's right.
And I need to remove myself from the situation.
That's right.
Absolutely. And so, I know like for like some of like the daily triggers, like for me just personally, like I know I have an abandonment trigger. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, or even just feeling like a rejection trigger. Hello. Can't get it out.
Hello.
So like with that, I know like, for a prime example, like if someone goes and cancels plans, right? Like that we have like plans all set up and someone cancels those plans on me, immediately my first immediate feeling is like abandonment and rejection of mm-hmm. being like, well, am I not good enough? Are you right. not wanting, did I do something? You know what I mean? Like, are you going to like not want to like hang out with me now because of mm-hmm. this? Like, that's like my immediate trigger. Like immediately I start feeling that way until I go, okay, wait a minute. This comes from my past growing up of feeling like, you know, I'd be sitting there, my dad would call and be like, hey, I'm coming to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be sitting there waiting. And then he would, an hour, 2 hours later, I'd still be sitting outside and my mom would be like, come inside, your dad called and canceled.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
And that it's crazy how we're so wired when we were young and then moving forward in our adult life, how that gets triggered, right? It's crazy how, but once you realize that feeling of going, okay, well, I know I'm upset by it, but why? Once you realize the why, it's easier for you to attach the healing to it.
Right.
Okay, how can I fix that? You know?
Absolutely.
But I totally get that. I think I have like a, I have a trigger from my my ex's son passing away. And he called at like 3 something in the morning. And then we tried calling him back and he didn't answer. Right. So moving forward, I had a situation where my ex, not that one, but a different one was calling me in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. And I missed the call and I tried calling him back. He wasn't answering. And I'm calling over and over and over and over again. And then I finally called Jess and Eric and they were trying to call over and over and over again. He wasn't answering. So immediately that was my trigger. Like not
your trigger. That, like if someone doesn't answer, it means something's wrong. If they're mm-hmm. calling right. you that late at night.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. So that's definitely the external speaking to the internal. Absolutely. 100%.
I think like mine, I have a lot because I'm fucking psychotic, but like
everybody has a lot.
Yeah.
I think my one that I can just think of off the top of my head, and we've all talked about this several times, is like when I see like friends of friends hanging out and me not there. Like, we were all just talking about hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, why wasn't I invited? Mm-hmm. Even though, in my mind, I don't know that you guys have had plans for X number of days. Mm-hmm. It's, why are they hanging out without me? And it's more of like, that's selfish in my mind. But also, when I was younger, because my biological mom wouldn't allow me to go anywhere, because that would require her to stop drinking and taking drugs to take me somewhere. Mm-hmm. I was excluded from a lot of activities. And I wasn't allowed to go hang out with friends. And I wasn't allowed to go to such and such's house. I was pretty much a loner kid, which is why I think I'm a loner adult. Like, I feel more...
But you have a fear of being left out, which then triggers you to feel left out.
Right, but I'd rather be alone because... You know, it's weird.
You can't get left out if you're alone.
Right, right. Like, you're not going to break up with me. I'm going to break up with you. Watch this.
Yeah.
Right. Self-tabotage is...
Hello.
Sabotage is a motherfucker.
It's like hand tanniciser.
Fuck, man. None of us can talk today.
Does it still does it bother you with if you see us hanging out?
Yes and no. Because again, I don't know that you guys have not already made those plans. Like, does it bother you if you see us hanging out and you're not here? You know what I mean? Like, there's certain triggers, you know what I mean? Like, where you're going, well, wait, why? I want to hang out with you guys. I love you guys. You know what I mean? But then I also know that you guys need your time together. We need our time together. All three of us need our time together. And we all need our time apart.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to, in my mind, I have to go, you don't need to be included in everything to feel validated and feel loved by those that are around you, because they don't have to invite you to everything.
Except I have an anxious attachment style, so you're much stronger than I am. I'm like, wait a minute. Hello.
I might be knocked out.
Yeah, no. I get that.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. I have to look at it as that's a me problem. It's not a you problem.
And this is why we're talking about whose baggage is it anyway?
Whose baggage? And that's exactly what the name of the episode is. Like, people need to realize that not everything, not every burden, not every trigger, not every anything that you're feeling is not always somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. Though they may have triggered you, they were not the ones to put the trigger in place.
That's correct.
So
I agree with that. Absolutely correct. So why don't we move on? That makes a good transition point to projections.
Yes.
How those triggers go into projections.
Ooh. So I do want to say this because I found this little cool thing because I was doing my research, right? And I was watching this therapist that was talking about how trauma itself roots into projection, mm-hmm. right? And so it says, and I liked it because it kind of drew it out as a map, with the little arrows of how it just all added up together, and it goes, trauma is the root, it creates a trigger, right? Our trauma response is then our body creating a coping mechanism, which then the coping mechanism is projection, which I was like, huh.
Hmm.
Curious.
And coping mechanisms are a learned behavior,
right? From normally unhealed wounds and trauma,
right?
So basically, simply put, a projection is when you unconsciously put your own feelings or wounds or insecurities onto someone else, right? Because it's a lack of being self-aware of what you're feeling, mm-hmm. and automatically you're unconsciously assuming that it's them, not you, in that situation, because you feel triggered, because your coping mechanism stepping in and going, this is danger, mm-hmm. I feel triggered, and in this situation I'm going to project my anger back because I feel you're in the wrong, not me. But in reality, it's a lot of times it's us, not them, you know what I mean?
It's like,
I
hate to say it, the problem,
right? Yeah, right. So, and that's one of the biggest things. Prime example, one of the ones that I seen was when I was in my past relationship with my ex, right? He was so about him, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the biggest things I always said to him was, you only act like you care about yourself. And I realized a lot of that was a projection when I would say that, because really it was me resenting him for doing things that I don't do for myself, right? Mm. It was I ignore my own needs. So seeing him take care of himself constantly and put himself first in a lot of situations made me realize how much I wasn't taking, putting myself first, because I was always putting everybody else first. But it was my projection of, that's what you're supposed to do, realistically. Not that our relationship was healthy by any means, but he was putting himself first in the aspect of, you got to take care of you before you can take care of someone else, right? So in my mind, I looked at it hold on, you're sitting here taking care of yourself, so you must only care about you, because I didn't look at it that way. So
do you know, that's such a huge eye-opener for probably a lot of people. Because I think so often, especially in relationships, you can resent people for taking care of themselves and not giving that back to you and not taking that time. I think for like other people, not just specifically in that case, but like, I think going into a relationship where you feel that you're not filling up your own cup sometimes, and I'm not saying this is you, but sometimes other people, like I'm guilty of it. I expected them to pour into my cup. And I would say the same thing. You care about yourself, or you're doing things for yourself. That comes within. That comes from myself. But I didn't realize after you just said that, I'm not realizing that that was my own projection onto them. That's a crazy fucking, that's a crazy perspective.
Right. Now, I will say, because I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second in this, and that is, but there's also a flip side to that, that there are relationships where they do only care about themselves and they don't have the emotional bandwidth to care about the person they're with a lot of times because they're emotionally unavailable. So there are certain situations where that is a situation. In my particular situation, I think it was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of me resenting him for watching him constantly put himself first when I was the one that was constantly putting him first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in that situation, I think it was a mixture of both. But in a lot of situations, I think that it could be a mixture of both, or it could just be you're projecting, or it could also just be that that person doesn't have the emotional bandwidth to give you what you're giving.
Right.
If you're already pouring into yourself.
Right. And I think that it just depends on the situation, and we know each other, or we know ourselves best.
Right.
You know, so if you're saying that to someone and you're really feeling that and it feels like a projection, it might be a projection.
Right.
Because I know I was just told like a week ago, like out of all the fucking things I did for this person, but I was told a week ago, I'm sorry, like I know that like you're going through stuff, but like I have no capacity to handle things that you're going through because I can't even handle things myself.
Right.
But I feel like that's a very mature response. Not knowing the source, but like just as an outsider's biased opinion, I feel like when somebody comes up to you and goes, I don't have the mental capacity to help you with your problems when I can't take care of my own. There's a way you should say it.
She's struggling with this one.
I know you're struggling with this one because of the source.
I get. But
think about if it wasn't that source.
I understand that. But when you did that, when you did that for that person, no matter how sucked and drained you were.
Projection. But
that's projection. That's you as a person.
That's you projecting the fact that you gave. Oh, wait a minute. Can I actually read something? Because this would be a really good time for me to explain this, right? So, because here's a completely different perspective on something. And I kind of went over it with you yesterday. So I want to bring this up. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to read it of what it is, because I actually wrote this down, because it was a completely different look on projection. Because I want to pause for a second, because I feel like projection itself has a really bad name attached to it, because projection normally goes hand in hand with gaslighting and narcissism. Yes. Right. Okay. But there's also trauma projection, and that's what we're referring to, right? But then there's this other outlet that sits, and I think this is where you fall into play in this. Okay. And that's a complete, it's projection of good faith. Okay. And how it works is, it says projecting your empathy and compassion onto people, so people will play you for a fool and walk all over you, all because you were protecting your sentiment. Well, I would never do that. So there's no way they would do that to me. So you have people who will take advantage of you, try to make you genuinely feel insecure, who will try to beat you down and make you feel little, and you accept it because you project yourself onto them. So basically, with that being said, it's saying like, because you put in good, you expect that they're going to put the same good back.
What's that saying? You can't look for yourself or expect yourself out of everyone that you meet.
Right. You were trying to mirror yourself onto him. Right. And when he wasn't giving some back, it made you feel resentment. His best qualities
were me, and I realized that after we split up.
Right. Yeah. So his best quality, there were no best qualities in that, because it was just you mirroring what you thought you were getting.
Right. Did an epiphany just happen?
I want to hit the crickets button so bad right this second. I was like literally about to flip around and hit it, but
it just makes me feel sick.
No, I mean, I don't think you should make it. It's a lesson, right?
Yeah.
It's a lesson learned.
I don't know if I should be teaching this episode.
No, you're good. Like when I read that, like, cause at first I didn't even think about it on your standpoint, because I know I've done it in the past in almost every relationship, right? I'm like, I give out so much good and I try to do my best in relationships, and I'm, you know, and I give, I give, I give, I do all these things. And then when I end up hurt at the end, I only truly have myself to blame.
Right.
Because I almost like put on this like mask, what they call it, the rose colored glasses, and went, well, I know what I put out. So I just expect that they're going to do the same. And I expect that. It's the whole statement of you can't expect everybody to have the same heart as you. Yeah. Right. It's a form of that. It's expecting that they're going to be able to give you what you're putting in. And then when you don't, you feel resentment and then you project back and go, oh, but I did that for you. So why can't you do that for me?
You know what the root of it is? As we're sitting here, I feel not good enough. I feel not seen. And I feel invalid for being me. And like, am I not good enough for you to do that to me?
But where does that come back to? Your childhood.
Correct.
So it all starts.
And also past relationships. I think not just childhood. I think it's just relationships in general.
Like, right. But you got to think about it. Like your childhood, that's when you're being molded. That's when everything's being taught to you. And mm-hmm. you learn very valuable lessons that you don't think you're going to use later in life. And then you turn 40 one day and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then you start to go into these relationships going, I can do this. Mm-hmm. It's fine. We can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Your name's not fucking Bob the Builder.
No.
You're fucking being Dora the Explorer. You do what you gotta do. But also at the same time, you have to protect your heart
yeah.
and yourself and realize that at the end of the day, you're the only person that's gonna be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, while you, yes, you have us, you have family, whoever has family, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't just like, you have to be able to self-cope, self-soothe, tell yourself that, okay, what you're being triggered off of is not their problem. Yes, they said something to you that made you feel whatever way you felt in that moment. But that's, again, your responsibility.
I like the statement, and you're right on that, because there's a statement that I keep seeing it by like therapists that say it. Your trigger, your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their trigger. It's your responsibility because mm-hmm. it's your trigger, right? So how you handle something or how you take something or feel about something is your responsibility and how you're going to react to it.
I think in that moment, I was definitely hurt.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? But no, I haven't absolutely.
Talked. I realized that, like, okay, that's what you're telling me. Like, I'm talking about, like, this is the behind feeling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because what happened for them, I haven't talked to him since.
Good.
And because I'm not going to give you...
Keep me? Giving yourself, because what's going to happen in the end is you're going to build so much resentment that, and I get it. I get mm-hmm. the ick with mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. where I'm like, ugh, I can't stand the sight of them, the sound of their voice, their name, anything. And that's all because you kept letting things slide, going, they triggered me, but it's fine. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
No, fuck you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Be on your way.
Yeah. That's it. Test projections.
And I do want to also bring up, because as we're talking about all this, I want to bring up numbness real quick for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times one of the things that doesn't happen is people realize how when you're numb, you can still project
mm-hmm.
and not realize that you're doing it, because you just feel like when you're numb, you're just shut down, right? So I recently heard Lori Gottlieb, who is like this American psychotherapist, writer, and like media creator for like compassionate. She has like a compassionate take on like therapy and human experience. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she explained that numbness isn't the absence of feelings. It's actually being overwhelmed by too many feelings at once. And then that kind of like hit me for a second when I was like really thinking about, I was like, wait a minute, what? Cause I always like when I'm saying I'm numb and I feel numb, that I actually was feeling nothing. And on the contrary, I was actually just feeling way too much, right? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because it actually connects to projection, because when we're overwhelmed or shut down, it's easy for us to push all of those feelings outward, right? Assuming the problem is someone else's, but really our system is just flooded. And until we like slow down and name what's inside, we just keep misdirecting it onto the people around us instead of it being directly realizing it's us.
That's crazy. Can you give me an example of a time that you remember doing that?
Oh,
there's been plenty, I'm sure.
But. Yeah. I, in a lot of situations, like when I was in my past relationship, mm-hmm. right? Like prime example of projection. And I hate to use this as an example and sound like a piece of shit, but when I was numb, right? When I went into shutdown. So numbness is actually a part of one of like your trauma responses, because it's actually part of FLOP. Okay. And which we'll go over in another episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over all the different trauma responses. But in that situation, when I was in that way and I was completely shut down, everything bothered me, right? I was just so like, my emotional capacity was at zero, right? And so my kids could come and just try to talk to me and they could be 100 miles an hour. And I was getting snappy with them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I was almost snapping back and I'd be like, can you guys just stop? You're being fucking exhausting right now. Like, I just need space. Like, I just need you guys to give me some time. And in reality, it was, I was exhausted, mm-hmm. and I was projecting that onto them and saying that they were exhausting when they weren't the ones being exhausting.
Right.
You know what I mean? In that situation. So I've realized a lot, like parental wise, like, I don't think it's talked about enough, like, how much, like, as adults, when we're dealing with our own, like, wounds or trauma, how much we're actually projecting all that stuff onto our kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether it be when we're sad, we're over sad. And then when they get sad, we're becoming even more, you know, sad. Or when we're frustrated, we're just overwhelmed or stressed, we're expecting them to behave perfectly because we're like, well, listen, I can't take you acting out right now at all. I need you to be on your tip top behavior because I can't handle it right now. Really? They're just children. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be able to just be kids, right? But in those moments, we project our feelings onto them because we're stressed. So we expect more from them as children when we shouldn't be, right? And so I would say it's probably like one of my examples, and I think was like a kind of like a hard realization for me to kind of go, wow, I really was doing that. And to see the flop of it now, to go, oh, I'm not doing that anymore because I'm not allowing myself to get to that point, you know, was a wake up call to see what I was doing.
And I think that's very important for the listeners who do have kids, because I don't think that a lot of people may realize that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I think bringing that forth is probably going to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I think I've done, and I hate to keep bringing this up, but that I think that was the most terrible thing. Like with Jeremy, when he passed away, I remember calling you, and I remember saying that to you. I feel completely numb.
But reality, you were just feeling way too much and you couldn't handle it. Correct. Your body went into shock.
Correct.
Like emotional shock. That's basically mm-hmm. what a shutdown is your body going too much mm-hmm. overload.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Then like the same with what you're going through.
Yeah. And I think people don't realize how often that we actually project. I know for like a prime example is like when we say like, oh, I know how that feels. No, we don't. Even if we went through it before, just because we went through it,
it's not the same.
Right. Two different feelings.
Okay. And okay, I respect that. I totally respect that thinking. But here's where doesn't that kind of devoid of human connection in a way? Because I understand that different, what if truly two people have gone through the same thing? Okay. I know that we each process in our own feelings, and we each process and we each have feelings through that. But to have someone else come to me and say, I've been through that exact moment, I understand how you feel, to me is comforting. And I feel like taking that away almost removes some type of human connection.
How?
Okay. I just want you to say that one more time, just so I can try to get my thought process right. Say it one more time.
Okay. I said, when we say like, I know how it feels because I went through it. And I was saying, not always no, because it can be two different feelings.
Okay. So what I mean by it not, okay, I'm thinking human emotion part.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going through something and someone sits here and says, I have been through that, it's a comfort.
Because you feel like you're validated?
Because I feel like not going through something alone
is validation of someone knowing how it feels.
Is someone understanding.
It's almost like a comfort to her.
It is. Like someone understanding how I'm feeling. And that's comforting.
Right. And I think that we can understand to an extent. Right. But everybody, nobody is going to go through, unless it's like, yeah, you know, siblings and they lose a parent and they're both just as close to that parent and in whatever, like there's certain situations. Okay. And I think death is one of the ones that, okay, we can assimilate to understand that it can be quite the same. Right. Okay. But outside of it, I think you're using your ex's son as your main basis on this one. But okay. Prime example, like if you were to go off of your most recent relationship, mm-hmm. right? And someone's like, oh my God, I've been through the exact same thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly how you feel. No, they don't, because no two relationships are going to be exact same. They may have similar qualities.
That I understand.
They may have similar bonds to that person, but that's the basis I'm going off of. Like,
okay,
in a day-to-day setting, not going off of like what it feels like to have someone pass away. Okay. And I think that's where you're taking it into like a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, yes. Okay. Yes. If someone's lost a child, they can understand the loss of what it feels like to lose a child.
Right.
Right. And you know, you know, even in that situation, like, yes, death is hard and losing a child's hard, but it depends on how the child died. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, it can go into a standpoint. Was the child murdered? Did the child have an accidental death? Did the child, you know, pass away from a sickness? Did the child have long-term cancer? You know what I mean? In that standpoint, when you're talking about like in that kind of framework of what you were dealing with, can all cause different feelings of how someone deals with it. But what I was basing it off was like normal everyday situations, not like death related style situations. Cause then yes, I think there can be a comparison, but I think that you can have a comparison of similar style of feelings,
mm-hmm.
but unless you were toe to toe, head to head in that relationship, well, you know exactly, especially because now let's add into it your triggers, your projections are not only solely based off of that relationship, but also childhood trauma, mm-hmm. right? So if someone didn't have the same childhood experiences you did and didn't go through the exact same things as you did, and they may have different traumas than you do, you may have different feelings on that, but we like to compare and just be like, oh yeah, I know how you feel because I went through it.
See, and this is like me as a whole, I can't sometimes also in the same, on the other side of the spectrum, I also can't stand sometimes when you're trying to talk to someone about how you're feeling and they go, yeah, I've been through that same thing, like I get it. Mm-hmm. And then like that's it,
right?
Because then sometimes like I think I was taking it a little bit more deep,
mm-hmm.
like with the, like the death portion and all that stuff, but I do think in most conversations I feel like sometimes that maybe that can be devalued to how I feel, so maybe that's exactly what you're trying to say,
right? Absolutely. Because okay in prime example, because I can go off of my past relationship and your most recent past relationship.
Yeah.
In both situations, they were dealing with similar issues, mm-hmm. right? Both had drug addictions,
mm-hmm.
both, you know, had depression, suicidal thoughts sort of type of thing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? A little bit of mixture of both. And when I'd go, I get it. I understand. I'm mm-hmm. sorry you're going through this. And they'd be like, no, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. You don't understand, because I had never had the addiction that they had. Correct. Okay. So, and it would frustrate the hell out of them. When I would say, or you would say to your ex, or I would say to my ex, hey, I get it. I understand. They'd go, no,
you don't.
No, the fuck you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they would drive that home because I was saying, I was projecting, yes, I know how you feel. And they're going, no, you don't. You have no idea how I feel. You're not in my head. You don't know what it's like to go through what I'm going through.
Yep.
Do you know what I've learned though? Like compared to my past relationships and into my like current one,
mm-hmm.
my past ones, I'd be like, I would say things like that. Like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, I got it. I understand. Now I go, help me understand.
Right.
Explain to me what's going on in your head.
That's a good.
I like that. It gives them the avenue to get it off their chest, to help expel some of those thoughts. So you can learn how to talk to them, learn how to help with those triggers. And then when they project on you, you're not going, what the fuck? You're going, okay. You're mad at your dad. You're not mad at me. You know what I mean? Like, don't say that to them, obviously. But you can't take it as personal. And you're starting to learn how to go, it's not me. It's not me.
It sounds so simple, but it's so easy, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Help me understand.
Like, you can ask Alex. I've asked her. I've told her multiple times. Help me understand. Help me understand how to help you through this. Help me understand what we're talking about, or like what just happened, like, you know, like triggers for anybody. I'm like somebody can come at work at me and they're like, oh, I can't fucking do this anymore, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, hold on, let's take a breath. What just happened? So I can in my mind go, I could see how that could trigger them, or I could see how they would be projecting that onto somebody else, or I could see why they're acting the way they are. You know what I mean? Like, I want to understand why you're acting the way you are. Or why you're reacting. Reacting is a better way to say it. Why you're reacting to the situation. And then I'm sitting over here going, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
Because everybody's triggers and projections are different.
Absolutely.
Everybody's traumas are different. Death brings people together. But what you go through on a daily basis and in your mental health is a whole different avenue.
That's a beautiful perspective.
Thanks, Adderall. Sponsor me.
Did you say it's sponsored?
She said sponsor me.
I think what it also comes down to, though, and like for people that are dealing with someone that does project a lot or does have a lot of triggers, if you're more of a healed version in any of our listeners and you're the one dealing with someone that's like that, like you have to understand, like for them, like, and not that you would say it to them, but it also comes down to you have to be patient with them and understanding. And I think there's different outlets that you can take, like she said, of saying, like, help me understand what you're going through. But it also, their rough day, their mm-hmm. rough past does not give them a license to treat you like shit.
Correct.
There's
and
that, yes.
And that's where, like, that has to be put in place. And that's where it comes down to, again, their responsibility because it's their triggers.
Right.
So how they handle themselves is their responsibility in that situation. But you do have to realize, like, it's okay to come at them from a healthy level and be like, hey, listen, I see you're triggered by something. So help me understand what I can do to help you. Help me understand what is going on in your brain so that I can, you know, meet you in the middle to help you through this.
Mm-hmm. Or so that I don't do what triggered you to make this whole thing happen again.
Right.
Right.
And honestly, like, this relationship, her and I don't fight like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't. Because I think I've sat there for long enough to go, how many times have I said it to you guys this year? I'm tired of fighting with people.
Right.
I am. Like, I'm so over it. And not to bring up anything negative, but I'll blame myself. I don't fucking care. We all three got into a disagreement, like, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, it was triggers, projection, triggers. Attachment styles.
Projection.
Attachment. Literally, all three of those in that conversation. And me and Jess, not so much Valerie, I love you, but when Jess and I are pissed off, leave us the fuck alone.
Yeah.
We are the kind of
throat.
We are the kind of people, like, just leave me alone before something else gets escalated or said that you cannot take back. Let me have that moment to self-soothe myself and, like, just woosah it out.
And you know what I realized, like, through all of that, like, I don't think people realize how much, like, triggers and projection actually can harm a relationship, because mm-hmm. essentially you're making someone in the present and in the now responsible for an experience that what you actually weren't a part of.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It mm-hmm. is not, it's not their fault.
I think, you know, what's crazy is that we were just talking about attachment styles, and we each literally in that disagreement, we each literally 100% spoke in our attachment style.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
She said that and I was like, oh my God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% right. We each literally texted back like our attachment style. Yeah,
every last single word.
Yeah, when her and I were in the car, I literally started busting out laughing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, you know what I just realized? We literally just, all three of us, like, we embodied our attachment style mm-hmm. in that moment, because she was like, time to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I could take it or leave it. I don't know yet. I'm still on the fence.
And you're like, wait, love me. I'm still here.
I'm like, I don't want you to feel that way. I'm still here.
Let's fix it.
So I do want to talk about attachment styles and how they show up in projections, because I think that is important too. It's mm-hmm. a little important piece. It's not the whole thing, but it's a important piece. And since we've already talked about, if you listened to our last episode of Attached as Fuck, you would kind of know which attachment style you are. So the anxious people, they kind of project that people don't care. Like, oh, they don't care about me. They're like left behind, right? So then they pursue reassurance and then hypervigilant to distance.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that conversation.
It's just weird.
And then avoidance, they project intrusion and critique. Like, you're trying to control me. So they withdraw and they're hypervigilant to demands. And then the fearful avoidant people, they flip between both of them. They could literally take it or leave it. So they anticipate abandonment and hurt. So they do the push-pull.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 100%. And it's funny that you fucking said that.
Right.
It's funny because it's so true. That whole conversation was me anxious, Jessica fearful avoidant, and I'm just Liz avoidant.
I'm just avoidant.
And I'm over here like, nah, fuck you. And then I'm like, but I just want to write you real quick and let you know how I'm feeling.
Yeah,
but I love you.
Yes. Yes. That is too funny.
But like, and the thing is, like, I said it in the text. We've gotten in disagreements before, and her and I, living in the same house, we'll literally walk right past each other, not say a fucking word. We went a month
without talking.
See, mm-hmm. to me,
but I will say that was toxic as fuck.
It was very toxic. It was very toxic. And we wanted to talk to each other.
But we were both fucking bullheaded and stubborn and just sat there going, who's going to talk first? Then finally I'm like,
and then she opened the door and I was like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think it's also embarrassment. I think it's also how we reacted. Right. Yeah. And I think it's also us going.
No, that was years ago. I do want to point that out.
It was years ago. Years ago. But like also at the same time, I think that's embarrassment and us going, fuck, I fucked up. Now I got to apologize for something else because now I've pissed somebody else off. And like, that's just us adding. Everybody's plate is overfilled.
Yeah.
Again, nobody knows what's going on in each other's lives unless we sit there and share every single fucking detail. And my thought process is not healthy, but I sit there and I go, well, if I just avoid it and I just back up for a little bit, I don't have anything to apologize for. And then in the end, I'm going, I'm sorry I was so fucking far away. I'm sorry that I was detached. Blah, 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 blah. And I sound like a fucking broken record. And I sound disingenuous. Uh-huh. I use it.
That's a good time. Good job. You did a great job.
Because it's like I have that, it's my pride talking, going, fuck, why don't, like, I don't want to apologize to them. Like, they triggered me. You know what I mean?
Mm. I mean, I had the same conversation with her.
Yeah.
Like, through it, I'm like, I don't feel like I have anything to apologize for. I don't want to apologize right now, so I'm not apologizing. And that's why even when I wrote, like, back, I was like, I didn't apologize. I was like, I'm just letting you know that I could have handled myself differently.
I'm standing on what I said.
10 toes down on business, bitch. Meanwhile, I'm like, I love you both like love sisters. And like
peace. Peace, love, and light.
Can we just talk about it? And Liz is like, no. And I was like, oh.
And I'm okay. Like, whenever she wants to talk about school, like, I'm not going to push her to talk about it. Like, it's so fucked
up. And then like, what happened, though?
This just shows that we're not perfect and we still have our own healing and working to do through.
3 or 4 days later, I'm going, can we go get coffee and talk?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm proud of you for not taking a month.
Because I'm like, I can't. Like, I can't. I can't.
So I think that this kind of jumps us into the next, like our next little segment here. And that is kind of like spotting, like being able to spot our triggers and projections mm-hmm. to like do like almost like a self-check analysis in this mm-hmm. aspect.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's super important because we can sit and talk about it, but how do you spot it? How do you spot it in yourself?
That's the tough part. No, like legit, that's the tough part.
Right.
Really, because I have a hard time doing that too.
I know. Because in a lot of situations, like I'm going to be honest with you, until we started like really doing this research, like I knew some of my triggers. Like I had triggers, like I'll never forget like the first time that Eric ever triggered me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of literally stopped and I went, whoa. And I go, you just triggered me. And he's like, what? And I go, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. This mm-hmm. is a me thing. And I was able to call it and be self-aware of it. But I remember him calling me and I was not at the house. I don't know if it was work or if I was at the store or whatnot. And he messaged me. He's like, hey, when you get home, we need to talk. Ooh. And those words was something that my ex used to do to me all the time. Right. Like he would just text me and be like, well, what's up? And he'd be like, we'll talk when you get home. And then I'd be like, what the fuck did I do now? You know what I mean? And so immediately
yep.
I was shaking on my way home. Like I was like, my heart was racing. I felt so much anxiety. And like, I literally was like in fight or flight so fucking bad. I didn't even want to come home. And then I was like, no, I just got to go face it. And as I'm like walking up the stairs, I was like literally trembling, making upstairs. I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, oh my God, I got to show you this. And I was like, show me what? And I'm like,
and it wasn't even something that was that big of a deal.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even about me. Like, it was like he found something funny, I think, is what it was that he seen online and he wanted to show it to me. And then he was like, do you think we could do something like this? Like, it was like some like couples video. Right. And I would look to him and I go, I want you to know how bad you triggered me. And he was like, I am so sorry. And I was like, no, you're good. Like, and he goes, I'm going to work at not using that statement because I don't want to trigger you. And I go, it's not a you thing, though. Excuse me. I go, it's truly my past relationship speaking through me. And in that moment, that was a trigger because that was how 9 out of 10 fights started in my past relationship, where it would be like he would wait and not just say something when I got home. He would always message me and it would cause so much stress in me beforehand. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why it's so important, because like if we can spot what triggers us beforehand, we can start to then heal it in that moment of by, like you said before, self-soothing, doing full body resets in that moment. In that, so that's
incredible that you realize it that quick. So I think that's a part of, and then we're going to talk about the medical jargon.
The medical jargon.
So that's a part of somatic memory. So literally the body keeps score of all the things that have happened to us. So you were talking about how like immediately you were anxious and mm-hmm. you were like your heart was racy and like you immediately felt it and you were shaking walking up the stairs, right? So usually that's like the tight chest, the stomach feeling, your stomach drops, the heart rate increases. That's literally somatic memory. So there's implicit memory. So the body reacts just milliseconds before cognition does. So you're literally feeling it before you can reason. So without regulation, the mind backfires a story to match the body's fear. Right. And that's exactly in real time what happened.
Right.
That's incredible. And it's crazy that you realize that trigger in that moment and then put it forth to what's going on now and then literally said to him, hey, I'm triggered.
Right.
And it's not even you.
So it's almost like a, excuse my goldfish brain here for a second.
Goldfish.
It's almost like, you remember what that show, That's So Raven?
Yeah.
When she would have the, like a little
flashbacks. Yes. Yeah.
It's almost like that.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm just going to start calling it my Raven moment.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's so Raven.
It is. That's so Raven.
You know, and I think it's also important that you said, hey, this is my trigger to deal with, and you didn't project it onto him.
No, in that moment, I literally just, when I realized, like, now I'm going to be honest with you, if it was something that he needed to actually talk to me about that was serious, I probably would have projected. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I would have went into defense. I would have tit for tatted that. I would have went all the way back in that moment because I was so triggered by it. And it wasn't until he said that I was able to say, you know what I mean? When I realized it wasn't anything bad, that I was able to go, hey, I just want to let you know you triggered the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In that moment, not that you meant to, this is mine, but in that moment, that's what it was. But I guarantee you, I would have projected like a motherfucker if he would have been like, hey, so I'm feeling this type of way or so forth and so on. Like that would have bothered me. That I would have not been able to stay cool in that situation because I was already so triggered and I was already in fight or flight.
And that's when the wound is talking.
Yep. 100%. 100%. So in that, there's questions you can ask yourself when you start to feel that like anxious feeling in a situation where you realize like, hey, this don't feel good. When you're feeling triggered, and the three that like I normally like try to always ask myself is the first one is like, go, okay, hold on. Is this about me or is this about them?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in that situation, like I was able to cognitively go, this is about me because I've been through this particular situation before. Okay. My next question was, what past memory does this remind me of? Right. In that situation, it was my ex always saying that to me, which caused the fight. Right. Mm-hmm. The third question I always say to myself is, do you find yourself irrationally defensive? And in that moment, I did. I found myself irrationally like freaking the fuck out, ready to attack. So that was me being defensive, and also it created that fight or flight feeling to create me to be anxious and angry and scared and all the feelings that I was feeling in that moment. So those are the three top questions that I normally ask myself when I'm realizing I feel triggered.
I think it takes a strength in someone to admit those thoughts, to walk through those thoughts before reacting. I think I have a hard time with reacting before I walk myself through those.
Right.
Like,
is that because you weren't aware that you were triggered in that moment? Because once you're triggered, because that's a big problem.
Probably, yeah.
That's why people project, is because they're not self-aware in that moment. They're allowing, again, going back to the definition of projection, it's the unconscious mind being reminded of a old wound, and we then project that onto them. We mirror that feeling onto that person and blame them for the problem instead of taking accountability.
Well, and I think like a real good question you could ask yourself in that moment is like, what story am I telling myself right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because again, we all have our own inner dialogue.
Yep.
And it plays, you have the devil and you have the fucking angel on your shoulders, and they're each telling you, okay, well, this is what's really happening. And the devil's going, hold on, this is what that bitch is really saying. And you have to sit there and learn to fight it and go, what actual evidence do I have?
Right.
Is this what they said? Or did I twist it to fit my narrative?
It's probably the latter.
Right. Like, what need of mine was feeling threatened right now?
Right.
For what reason?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it their problem?
So to kind of piggyback off that too. So there's also like nonviolent communication. So this is taking what you were saying, like addressing the trigger, addressing the projection, addressing what's going on. So you observe it, like when you came late and then the feeling, I felt anxious and unimportant. and then the need. Because I need to feel considered. The request is, would you be open to letting me know that you'll be late?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of breaking it down, like, in different situations. Breaking each one down and kind of recognizing. I think I have more of a problem of going, I don't know that I'm triggered in that moment. So I say it. But then I think I realize once I say it, and then I go, oh, wait a minute.
Mm. Now, that's not to say, again, Jess, you said it earlier, not everybody deserves that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sometimes people are just assholes, and they need to get whatever reaction you're going to give them at that moment. Not everybody needs to know the healed version of you. Like, I'm not saying be toxic. I'm not saying go out and start fights with everybody. But I'm also not sitting there saying, like, take shit from everybody and learn, oh, it's you, you're the problem. No. There are certain situations, certain relationships, certain aspects of what life, you know, like, take a breath. But other ones, let them fucking know.
And I also think that it's very important to know, like, triggers are your teachers. The trigger itself isn't the teacher.
No.
But
it's how you react.
Mm-hmm, but it's the feeling behind it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's teaching you something about yourself that you need to make aware
mm-hmm.
of where I need to make changes. Why is this bothering me? Because here's my thing. In turn, when people do things to you, not realizing they're triggering you,
mm-hmm.
is an opportunity for you to go, I can fix myself. I can fix that part. Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for letting me see that there's parts of me that I need to fix myself to feel better. And I think that's, listen, you listen to your body when that shit happens.
What's that thing? There was like a TikTok video a while ago. Like, when you feel it in your stomach, that's anxiety. Like, oh. When you feel it in your throat, it's fear. When you feel it in your chest, it's something. Like,
there's... Yeah, abandonment's your heart.
Yeah.
Rejection, you normally is like by your chest, like your collarbone, mm-hmm. right? Feeling invisible and like feeling like almost like you don't matter. That's your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like the anxiety comes in, like not feeling worthy enough, all those type of things. So normally like you'll put your hand on your stomach in those moments.
Oh, I didn't know that. Say that again.
What's yeah.
that? So abandonment is so normally abandonment, you put your hand on your heart.
Like you feel the ache in your heart.
Right. Cause it hurts here normally. Like when you feel abandonment or you feel like rejection and abandonment, normally that's like in your chest. Right, is where you normally will feel that.
Okay.
Because normally that comes with, like, you get the tight chest, you feel the panic, you have the urge to either cling or cut off, right? Shortness of breath, the heart racy, all those things. So normally it's rejection, abandonment is chest related, right?
It's true.
So you put your hand on your chest, right? That's where you're supposed to put your hand. And then your stomach is normally when it's not being seen or not feeling worthy. Or not feeling like you're enough is your stomach. You put your hand on your stomach.
And then your throat, you feel it like, you know, when you like you're about to cry and you're trying to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fear in your throat. And then when you feel it in your head, it's stress or it's something else. Like there's people, we joke about you and your medical jargon a lot.
Yeah.
But people need to realize that literally everything that they do in their life and like any kind of depression, anxiety, mental health, all the bullshit.
Breaks down to the autonomic nervous system. It does. Like, realistically.
It all is tied together. So.
Because it's your body reacting.
Right.
Your mind and your body working together to react.
And we wonder why people go crazy because they don't know how to process their feelings.
My book smarts come in handy sometimes.
That's right. That's right. Now, I will say, because you were making the statement of, you know, in those moments, like sometimes you don't realize you're triggered and you feel that negative feeling mm-hmm. and then you react, right?
Yep.
And I've come to like the I'm gonna be honest, like I'm trying to work on being heavy on the not every action deserves a reaction. Right? I couldn't spit that out for some reason. Sorry.
Okay. I was there to help you.
We speak your in betweens.
You speak my in betweens. So anyways, listen.
Anyway.
In those moments, like the one thing like I wanna point out, because I'm noticing with my triggers, right? Like prime example, using our earlier experience, right? It didn't need a reaction, right? So I stepped away for a second, right? Like I just said, hey, listen, I'm on lack of sleep. And then my next reaction was to walk away for a second. And because I knew in that moment, I was immediately triggered. Because this is like something that like I think is something to be self-aware of if something upsets you very quickly and you immediately feel the need to be defensive, that's a trigger. right off the bat. That should be your sign that that is a trigger for you. So in that moment, that's where you have to start to ask the questions. What am I feeling right now? Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling frustrated? Am I feeling invalidated? Am I feeling rejected? Am I feeling abandoned? You need to name it right then and there. When you feel it, before you even react, in those moments, that's when you should be naming exactly what you're feeling.
So it's like, it's literally like having your own emotional first aid kit. Your trigger equals it's an emotional paper cut. Your projection is accidentally handing someone else your bandage. And then when you self-soothe, it's literally you grabbing your own first aid kit before bleeding on everybody else.
Mm. Right? Or as they say, it's your emotional CPR.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my thing.
Okay.
If those are great, that's a great perspective. But in my mind, okay, that... See, it didn't need a reaction. Never mind. I answered my own question.
No, what were you going to say, though?
What I was going to say is, like, how you said that bothered me. Because uh-huh. I felt dumb, stupid, like, oh, okay, everything I fucking say is wrong, mm-hmm. right? There's my projection.
Right.
You didn't mean it that way.
Right.
So in that moment, that's why I'm saying, never mind. That's my shit to deal with. Because I was going to go, but what if it bothers me that you're saying it that way? And then I got snappy. And then you said something
back.
Correct. And then you came back and you're like, wait a minute, no, because now I'm feeling invalid, all that stuff. It literally created a back and forth of each why we're hurt, why we're bothered.
Right.
But in that moment, you were like, not everything needs a reaction. And I was going to say, why? Like, am I not allowed to tell you, hey, that bothered me when you do that?
No, that's okay to say. That's different because that's not you. That's not you projecting. That's you saying, hey, in this moment, I'm actually feeling hurt by how you just said that. And maybe you didn't mean it in a bad way. But my immediate feeling was that you were making me feel like my feelings were invalid. That's a healthy way of handling your trigger.
It all comes back to it's not what you say. It's how you say it.
Right.
So instead of saying what you said, you could have been like, what? Or I'm sorry. Am I missing something? You know what I mean? Like, there's a way to say and do things. And I think that we all are getting to that point in our life where we're going, I could have handled that better.
That's right.
Right. Because we're always striving to be a little bit better than we were the day before.
100%. But my thing to that was, and that's why I was like, oh, never mind. I answer my own question. Because in my head, had I not said that, it didn't really need a reaction. And that's my own shit to deal with. I shouldn't have just said anything at all.
Right.
Because realistically, you didn't mean it like that. I could have just not said anything at all.
Right.
Instead that was her going, normal hey, confused that, face.
That hurt yeah, me.
It was.
Yes.
I was like, what?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that everything doesn't need a reaction, that could have just kept to myself. Instead of being like, you hurt me by saying that. No.
And that's why.
I could have worked through that one by myself.
Right. You could have. But in that moment, you weren't ready to, or you didn't realize that it was a trigger until I told you it was a trigger for me. Right?
Yeah.
So in that moment, I was just being more self-aware at that moment. When you said it, I went, this is a trigger. Immediately, as soon as you said it, I went, ooh, that pissed me off. And then I went, why did it piss me off? Ah, because it's a trigger, because I felt invalidated, right? I just asked myself, and I think is what it comes down to is when you feel pissed off in a moment, okay, you have to ask yourself before you respond, that's where it comes into place to go, am I pissed off because it's justifiably why I'm pissed off? Like, is there a reason that I feel this way because they've done me wrong? Or am I triggered by something that's happened in my past that caused me to feel the way I'm feeling right now in a situation of something so minute?
That's it.
And that's where, when I was seeing those self-check questions, am I finding myself being defensive, like more so than I really needed to be in a situation for no reason? You know what I mean? And that's where I think it comes into place. And so, like, and
this is healing in real time.
It's healing in real time.
I didn't realize it was a trigger until you're like, yeah, this is a trigger for me. And I was like, wait a minute.
This is a trigger for me.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that until you said that.
I was triggered. So I then triggered you. Yeah.
We both triggered each other.
Right.
I love you so much. I'm really sorry.
It's okay. You're good. I accepted your apology for it. I apologize to you. But moving forward now with this, like, the next steps to this is, like, when you do that is using the reset formula. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been working with of trying to do. And I think that was what was able to help me to not react in that moment. And that is, so the reset formula, it's called pause. right? And it breaks it down like an acronym, right? So P stands for obviously pause. It's noticing the flare, okay? So in that moment, I noticed the flare. I noticed where I was upset, right? I say out loud or say silently, pause. And that's what I said in my head. I went, pause, hold up. And I stepped away, right? I interrupted my mind, right? In that moment to go, I need to step away for just a second. Or even if I stood there, I could have just stood there and just not said anything and paused in my moment, right? And then A is for anchor, right? So come back into your body, feet on the floor, hands pressed together, take one slow exhale and one inhale, a little bit longer, do like the in for four, out for six to eight, right? The next one comes for you is understand, right? So ask, is this about the present or is this an old wound echo? Okay. So that's where you're now questioning yourself. What is this? Why am I feeling this way? Right? That's when you're going to ask those questions. What am I feeling? How, why is this bothering me? Is this remind me of a childhood experience or a past relationship experience that's causing me to feel triggered right the second, right? The next one is S, which is self-soothe, which in a moment we'll go over and we'll give our different ways of self-soothing, okay? But that's for S. And then the last one is E, engage. And that is once you're calmer, you choose to respond aligned with your value, not your wound. So you use the reset formula in that of instead of responding in a wound form, respond in a calmer manner to be able to handle yourself. So
I want to be you when I grow up.
Are you calling me old?
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, God.
Maybe.
Maybe. Bitch.
That's... You actually did that shit in fucking... Good job.
Thanks. I had to. Listen, this perimenopause is kicking me right now. I'm noticing it. I'm noticing how badly I am. And so I'm having to literally like grasp at straws for things. So in this moment, I'm like, I have to do that if I'm going to make it through this and like keep my family intact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Keep my family intact.
Because I'm afraid, like, I knew, like, what it was like when my mom went through perimenopause. Like, bro, like, she'd walk in the house and we could tell by the look in her eyes. We knew it wasn't normal mom walking in the door and we would scatter like roaches. We'd start
cleaning immediately. Yep.
We would be like, oh, time to clean. Yep. And we'd be like scrubbing the counters and like all the kids, like my brother's and sister would like, they'd go to the rooms, my kids would go to their area and sit quietly, like, and we wouldn't say anything, we wouldn't even look at it, we'd just start cleaning. Hey mom, how you doing? And then just start cleaning. That's it. Like, yep. Because we wanted to do everything in our power to create a situation of calmness to bring her back down from wherever she was sitting, and we knew a dirty house was one of them. And if my kids are listening, I am the same way, okay? I am my mother. Mm-hmm. 100%. I know that. I am her clone. 100% through and through. I am my mother's clone.
You are.
100%.
What a blessing. It is. She's a pretty cool lady. Mm-hmm.
She is amazing. So I take it as a
compliment. We love you and all your hormones.
And all your hormones. Well, she's not anymore. Now I know, she's just getting fully through it. And now I just pray to get to the point that she's at now where she can keep her shit together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get there. We'll love you through it.
It's a work in progress.
Fine, I might love you through it from a distance for a little bit.
Oh, from a distance.
You know what?
I can go the distance.
Oh. Just saying.
I'll just be scared.
Love me through it. Just love me through it, okay?
We'll love you
just
through it.
In just, my presence.
That's when you, like, you put the little white flag in the doorway before you even walk through. Is it safe?
No, listen. That's why I am really been trying to work on myself. You know what I mean? Like, fully, wholeheartedly, I'm trying to work on the things so that I don't react in a way that causes, because I can, some of it can be hormones, right? I get that. Like, through this situation, it's good. There's going to be some hormones that are involved, but in the same aspect, like, and I've been working on this for a while, especially since I got with Eric, like, I have been working on how I say things, when I say things, how I react to them. So that's what I think
you're
doing a
fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Like, legit, like, you're, I aspire.
It's a work in progress.
I know.
It is a work in progress because I'm nowhere near where I need to be, and I know that. And that's why I say every day is a chance to be better than you were the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You're a beautiful soul.
Oh, so are you guys.
Whatever.
And so are our listeners. You're all beautiful souls. We love you all.
Gorginas. I think that I'm not there. I'm not where you are. So I'm having a harder time. I think for me, what it's going to take, and I'm not going to sit here and just do all positive fucking things. I'm going to be honest. Like, sometimes I have a hard time realizing what they are. I think this conversation brought it to light a little bit more, right?
Right.
So I think recognizing and realizing what it's doing, and I have a hard time pausing, but I need to do better at pausing.
I think it's a work in progress because I'm not going to sit here and say that every time I do it. Our whole conversation that when we had our little truffle, I mean, was a prime example of I didn't pause and I didn't speak from no wound. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm not perfect. I have my moments and I will never claim to be perfect. And I know I will for the rest of my life make mistakes, but it's just learning to grow from what I'm doing and it's what I'm saying and how I'm doing things. And I think we all are on that path of learning to make better choices to handle ourselves in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if I look back, if I even go back 5 years on both of you, you guys aren't the same person you guys were when I first met you.
No,
and you guys have done so much growing.
And ditto.
Thank you. But
I'm a product of my environment. I surround myself with those people.
Yeah. But you also have done growing just on your own, no matter the environment. And that's something to be proud of.
I don't think you realize how far you've come. I think your innate ability to stop reacting how you used to react so much is vastly different than when I met you.
Yeah.
Your ability to stay calm in situations, like I see you at work and how you're handling things and how you're talking to people, you have changed an immense amount. Well, like, thank you. And give yourself credit for that.
Thank you.
Because I've seen it too.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
It has not come without wanting to murder a few people, but you know.
Hey, babe. It's not easy.
I mean, Sam. I know.
Hello. That's estrogen and progesterone.
I mean, I don't want no, like, you know, restraining order on this for me saying that or anything.
No,
you know what I mean?
Don't
so
do that.
So in that situation, please, like, I would never hurt someone. But
yeah, nothing. Right. We don't want to file injunctions on you. Don't worry. That won't happen, baby.
Yeesh.
Yikes.
Yeah, well. So what are some self-soothing techniques that you guys use that you find that are helpful that we can share with our listeners that would work in everyday situations when they do feel triggered or they feel like they're projecting or realize they're triggering? What can they do in those moments?
When I do understand it and when I do feel it, I tend to walk away and I do something else to distract me until I calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, like, especially like in relationships, and I do recognize it, I have to walk away. I'll listen to music. I'll do something. Sometimes I put on worship music because that grounds me. Something that grounds me is what I need.
Right.
Mine's a little bit more dramatic.
That's not dramatic.
Well, all you had to do is walk away for 2 minutes and come back and you're like, okay, fine. We'll talk. Mine's like, I need a minute.
I meant, so I took 2 minutes. You took a minute.
Ooh. Big difference.
No, like, I don't think that there's, listen, whatever helps and whatever grounds someone and helps them get back onto a page of where they're better.
Yeah.
I think that doesn't make them dramatic. I think that that's, you got to do, not every, yeah, mm-hmm. not every healing tactic is going to work. I mean, if you go to a therapist and be like, okay, so do your daily affirmations and start to work and address your wounds, and that's right. Great, but that doesn't heal everything, and not every daily affirmation and not every addressing absolutely everything is always going to fix it right off the bat. And there is no quick fix.
Because healing is not linear.
No. Correct. And I saw something that I took to heart the other day when I was reading about this. You have to do 100% of your 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 100% taking account of your own actions, your own tone, and your own reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, make sure that you are also leaving that other person accountable for their 50%.
I agree.
And I was like, damn, that makes sense. 100% of your 50%.
Yep. I like that, actually. That's right? That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. That was a fucking cool little thing that I spotted. I was like, damn, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It does make sense. I like that.
Takes a lot of the responsibility off of you thinking that you have to do all of it.
Right.
Because we're out of that. We already talked about that. We ain't doing that shit no more.
Agreed.
Mm-mm.
What about you, Liz? What do you do, like, in the moments, like, when you notice you're triggered? Like, what do you find helps you with self-soothing?
Mine's going to sound a little bit more crazy.
I like the huh.
I have, like, and I'm sure...
Throat coat.
Sorry. Oh, it was you?
It was my throat coat.
I heard it. I felt
it. Did we throat coat at the same time?
Yeah, I think so.
I snapped and her notebook fell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's crazy. We're just all in sync today.
Here we are.
Just call
Bluetooth
me.
Bluetooth
paired.
I have to pause. I've learned. I don't say pause out loud, but like I go, and that's me like having the board meeting in my head going, okay,
board meeting.
Let's file all these papers. Let's figure this out. Let's analyze this, because I'm going like, I have to go, let's take a moment. Let's just, we're going to, yeah. Like literally this is the conversation that's going on in my head. Like as unhinged as it sounds right now, that's me in my head going, yeah.
Hello.
It's fucking insane. I know it sounds insane. I'm sure I look insane when I do it. But like I literally internally pause and then I go, this fucking bitch, don't fucking say this shit to me. Well, this is what I'm gonna say her. Well, don't say that because this is the act. Like I have to go through that step, and then I have to like shut down is a bad word. I get quiet because I wanna collect my thoughts. So that I make sure that something does not get said that cannot be taken back.
That part.
So I listen to music. And my music, I listen to angry music.
Yeah.
Like ragey, like rah.
You don't feel like that keeps you in it?
No, because it helps me get some of that adrenaline out, honestly.
Really?
See, it does. Like,
if I'm angry and I listen to angry music, bitch, I'm going to stay angry for a while. Because I'm going to be like, I will listen to every song. It's like, fuck you. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, yeah.
Because if I listen to angry screamo music, it helps me relax. But if I put on like some little Boosie, you want to talk shit, you want to run your mouth, I'm like, that keeps me hyped up. And I'm like, let's fucking go,
let's go, bitch.
You want to fucking go? I'll fucking show you a gangster. And then I'm like, bitch, you're white, calm down. Like, sit down over there. And like, honestly, it sounds so techie of me, I guess, or millennial of me. I have to play a game on my phone just to get my mind somewhere else.
No, yes, that's disassociation.
I have to literally disassociate from everybody in the room, including my son, because I'm like, he doesn't deserve my projection. He literally was just sitting in the room playing dinosaurs. He didn't fucking do anything. Why am I going to yell at him? You know what I mean? And again, that goes back to the parenting thing, but like, I have learned to internally pause and go, it doesn't need a reaction right now.
Right.
It doesn't deserve it. You don't get to deserve to feel the anger that I feel for you right now. Mm. And it doesn't really necessarily, it's not warranted half the time. It's just me going, oh, this fucking bitch thinks this, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's just not how it works anymore. And I have said it again, I'm tired of fighting with people. So I've learned it's time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Just stop. They are going to feel about you whatever they feel about you. You cannot change their mind, and that's it is not your responsibility to change their mind on how they feel about you.
That's exactly right.
I was raised, you treat the janitor the same way you treat the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
How they come at you is how you come at them.
Mm-hmm.
But watch your fucking mouth. Watch how you talk to me.
Watch how you talk to me, but watch your mouth.
I think for me, it's just really big on like co-regulation, because like I can have some pretty big feelings. And in those moments when I'm having those pretty big feelings, that's when I need to pause and reflect.
Right.
You know what I mean? And co-regulate and get myself used to that. So that this way I can start realizing to do that, because I feel like when I co-regulate myself, then I'm less apt to go at it the next time and handle it in a negative way. Because mm-hmm. I go, you know what? Been here, done that. How am I going to handle this? I'm going to stop for a second. These are some pretty big feelings, and I need to be able to work myself through this for a second. And that's where I do my self-soothing of like, for me, it's a little bit different. Like I find like, I will just talk to myself, like not like out loud, you know, I'm not like,
you have the board meeting like, too.
Right. I do. I have the board meeting. Right. Yeah. But I normally like, instead of like going over everything that was just said in my head, instead I have to, because if I do that, I feel like I amp myself up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's okay. My problem. I struggle with, if I keep going over the conversation, my brain will play out 14 different ways that could hurt that person's feelings and how I want to say it to them. You know what I mean? That's the anger in me. Right. So instead I have to go, this is what I'm feeling. And again, doing that same thing. Attaching, addressing what I'm feeling, why I'm feeling this way, where this came from, was this justifiable, or was this something that is a projection for me? And then stop myself and go, okay, how can I address this in a way that's not going to be attacking and not speaking from my wound? And in that moment, like, I'll talk myself down and be like, you're okay, you're fine, you are seen, you are heard, you are validated in that moment, or you're not being abandoned, you are enough for yourself, you know what I mean? Like, you're okay to defend yourself, or whatever the situation is. I have to like coax myself down from the ledge sometimes, because I am fiery in that way. I am quick to want to go all or nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it is like 0 to 100 real quick for me. And in that, that's been such a work in progress on my emotions to how I handle situations. And I think that's been the hardest thing and the hardest struggle of it. So I have to like co-regulate myself differently. You know what I mean? I have to self-soothe in a different way of like doing almost like an adult timeout for myself and go, okay, hold on. What am I doing? Why am I reacting this way? How can I fix this? How can I change how I'm going to address this? How can I say to get my feelings across without purposely trying to hurt someone else?
Right. And I think especially speaking up for yourself and making sure that you're advocating for yourself in those moments too.
Right.
So I think all too often we get triggered and we don't say anything. Like, things that need to be addressed, sometimes right. people don't address it.
Yeah, because right. we're not saying to allow yourself to be a doormat and not speak up for your feelings.
Right.
We're just saying learn what is justifiably, like, you need to stick up for yourself for and where you need to put your points across and where you're not just doing it because it's a wound.
Like, the nasty lady at the grocery store doesn't need your reaction.
Right.
Your significant other at home that's doing something that you're going to have to live with them daily on, yes. They sometimes deserve you to go, okay, well, this triggered me. Can we try and do it this way to avoid that?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Not everything needs a reaction.
I agree.
However, sticking up for yourself and saying your truth is where you need to speak up and say
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
That's 100%. What's important.
That is 100% important.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, as a mom of a little who is literally a sponge for fucking everything right now, as I'm sitting here cursing, as I'm trying to actively not have him curse, they grow up watching you and how you react to things and how you handle situations. And they go into adulthood going, well, my mom used to do it this way, so let me figure it out that way. And that's not necessarily always healthy either.
Right. Scientific fact here. The first 9 years of life is the time that you will form all of your trauma bonds, most of your wounds, and you will form most of your projections.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and doesn't it make sense that I lived all 9 of those years
with your mom,
with my mother.
Yep. But I think that's for another episode.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now, I think what would be cool to do maybe next week is actually like jump into actually talking about the trauma responses of fight, flight, freeze, fall, and flop.
Flop.
See?
Hello.
Can you get it?
Can't even
hello.
Say it once.
Fright, flight. Fight, freeze, fawn, flop. There we go. I got it out. Those are the 5 main. Now, there are 7 supposedly all total, but the 5 main are those 5. So I think we should go over those next week because I think agree. It kind of ties into what we're talking about.
Yes. Totally agree.
So I think that would be a wonderful idea. But we are...
When she sounds like that, you know the episode's over.
Yeah.
A wonderful idea.
Well, yeah, because we're at an hour and 22 minutes.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
We talked a lot this episode. Yeah. So sorry, it was a little bit longer.
I feel like we've only been talking for like 45 minutes. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, well, no, it's a great time.
I hope that we helped. And listen, if you guys have another way that is helpful, please. That could be a great way to self-soothe or a way you handle it or the way you recognize when you're triggered, please let us know.
Absolutely.
Because please. It'd be something that we can share with others and you could potentially be helping others too as well.
Or you could be helping us.
I was just going to say, we're real. Not perfect. You can probably help us too.
Yeah. We're not therapists. We're just unhinged bitches sitting here trying to figure out life day by day together.
Emphasis on the unhinged.
Yeah.
Emphasis on trying.
Yeah, right.
Well, we love you.
We do. We love you lots.
Until next time. Bye.
You didn't even do the music.
Yeah, no music. No, like, hey, guys, just so you know, you can always email us at unhingedmemoirs@gmail.com.
Or follow us on all of the social media platforms, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest.
You can listen to all of our Snapchat. Podcasts on all major platforms. Did we forget that part?
Yeah.
Fuck, this one's unhinged.
Triggered me, I think.
That's projection, ma'am.
Well, till next time.
Okay. Bye.